I wanted to go on camera and show people, yo, I know what it's like. I've been there. I've done that. Don't waste your life. You have only one life. Make a change, and nobody's gonna hold your hand and guide you to do that. You have to do it yourself. You're gonna have to want it. Like,
yeah.
You're gonna, you need to want it more than you want to breathe.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 119 of the Mad Happy Podcast. I'm Mason, and today we're joined by my dear friend, Susie, who is a pleasure to have her on the show and talk to her. Met her about 5 months ago when we started working out at the same gym. She was in the midst of a massive physical and mental transformation for her of losing 50 pounds. I met her about halfway through her journey, so when she was already well on her way. The whole process is documented in a four-part docuseries on YouTube, produced by Zila on their YouTube page that you could go watch and find now if you're interested. But she's just so funny and is such a ball of energy, and was really like one of the people who made me feel so comfortable when I first started working out and taking my fitness seriously with Zila and like the different classes and workouts that we would do together. So I knew as soon as she finished her transformation that I wanted to get her on the show. And it was so nice to finally just have the conversation and really hear from someone who went through such an insane transformation, not only physically, obviously, but all of the mental hurdles and ups and downs and behavioral changes and lifestyle changes and habits and just everything that comes with this. Is really, it's a big undertaking and it's a really big deal, and it's an amazing accomplishment. Yeah, it was really great to finally have Susie on the show. So hope you guys enjoyed the episode. The Mad Happy Podcast is brought to you by Optimism. Enjoy the show with Susie. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
It's been so nice to get to know you over the last 4 or 5 months. For people who don't know, I met Susie through Zila and through Ilya, the fitness program that I've talked about on the show that I've been doing for the last 5 months. When I came in, Susie was basically in the middle of her journey, which literally just ended. Like, the fourth episode of her documentary just came out this week.
Yeah.
Which was crazy. It was like 8-9 months for you.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I was like so inspired by like the progress that you made. Obviously, I met you like after you had already lost like a lot of the weight. So I didn't really know about just like how insane the transformation was. And I'm sure all of like the harder things that I then learned by watching like episodes 1 and 2, sort of before we'd even ever met. But I guess now that like it's over and the last episode came out, how's it been like feeling now being on the other side of it finally?
Dude, I don't even know. I feel that I need to work out still every single day, which obviously I do, but it's never over.
Yeah.
I've been talking to so many people, and I hear the same thing from like 25 different people is, don't go back to what you used to look like. Don't go back. Don't go back. Don't go back. And I tell them, I'm not going to go back.
Right.
And they tell me, they're like, whenever you stop, you just don't feel complacent.
Yeah.
And I tell them, I'm not gonna feel complacent. If anything, I actually do want to go down a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know, like, I feel comfortable in my skin now, but just, you know, just for myself, I do want to go down maybe like 10, 15 pounds more.
Yeah, you could always like keep improving.
And we've already lost a lot, man. Come on, that's nothing.
I know. When you look back on it, I guess now that like, you know, all the content is out and stuff, and obviously like you've been on the internet for longer, but was it different to like share this kind of content that was maybe more like your physical appearance, more vulnerable stuff? Like, what was that sort of process like?
It's crazy because you have to be vulnerable in front of the camera whenever you're doing something like this.
Yeah.
And I kind of just showed everybody, the entire world, like my life and what I used to eat, what we did, everything, the entire journey of A through Z of what we went through, of what I went through. And one of the other reasons why I'm kind of happy that I did it is because I wanted to show people, who anybody who's watching, that it is possible.
Yeah.
It is hard to do, and I did it in front of a camera.
Yeah. Like,
you know, there's going to be thousands of people that watch this, and they're not going to be in front of a camera, but obviously I'm in front of the camera, and I want to show people like, hey, it's okay. I did it, and I just want to be that inspiration. And I've been getting so many messages from people telling me, it's because of you I'm losing the weight. It's because of you. And it's the craziest feeling ever.
Yeah. Such a crazy feeling. I guess before we even met, like, what made you want to start it in the first place? Like, was there a moment like you were feeling really bad about yourself? Was it just Ilya came to you like with the opportunity? Like, what was sort of the moment that you knew, like, I want to make this change, like at the beginning?
So I've always felt bigger like my entire life. And in December of 2022, I got offered to get in the boxing ring, which, disclaimer, I did get my ass beat.
You can go check that out in episode one if you're interested.
Yeah. But I asked Ilya, it was around October time. I told him, hey, I have this opportunity where I am going to get in the boxing ring, and I can't think of anybody better that could help me train for this fight. And I started working out. And
so it literally started with the fight.
Yeah.
Before you were even ever like, I want to lose all this weight. Yeah. I want to do this thing with Zila. Like, it was just like, this girl challenged me to fight, and I said yes.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I told him, I said, I think this will be a really good opportunity for you to train me. And on top of that, I do want to lose weight myself.
Yeah.
And let's just kill two birds with one stone. Get me skinny, and we'll get in the fight. We'll make a documentary. We'll show people, like, hey, it is difficult to lose the weight. Because he did the same thing with Natalie.
Yeah.
But the thing is, Natalie has been fit and has been skinny her entire life.
Yeah.
You know? And then you bring, like, a bigger woman on who has been bigger her entire life. It's kind of very different.
Yeah.
So that's another thing that I thought about, which I thought would be so great, is just bringing someone who has been heavier their entire life and changing their entire life, doing like an entire 180.
Yeah.
You know?
What were like the hardest parts in the beginning for you?
Changing my food and working out. 100%. And that, obviously it's crazy because, well, not crazy, but that's exactly what you need to do to lose the weight.
Yeah.
But changing my diet was probably the hardest thing. Is the exercise was easy because, not easy, but it was easier to do, but the food, cutting down the food was the hardest thing.
Yeah.
I love food.
Yeah, I agree. Like, that's been such a hard part for me because obviously we both grew up with, like, you know, bigger families. Food is a part of the family, the tradition, the culture. It's what brings people together. It's how you sort of like express love and community and things like that. Like, that has been the hardest part for me because I agree. Like, the working out is like you have a trainer, you're there. But then it's like when you're just by yourself, that's when you like to eat. And with food being like such a big part of, like, I know what your family does and your brother's restaurant and all of that thing. Like, how were you able to like really change your relationship with like food? Because I feel like that's such a big part of like your family's literal like livelihood. Life. For anyone who doesn't know, by the way, your family owns and operates like a few restaurants.
Jonas Kebab.
Yeah.
It's in North Hollywood.
Like a fake place, but it's a real place. Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely not a fake place. It's called Jonas Kebab. It's funny because we just made a kebab restaurant out of this, like, this imaginary, like, character, like, person.
Right.
Like, Jonas, not even my brother's real name. We just made a restaurant on his based on this character that does not exist.
That's really funny.
You know what the thing is I wanted it, and I've been wanting it for such a long time, and I knew I couldn't let anyone down, including myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually recently found a letter when I was 16, and then sometimes I go through pictures of, I started and finished diets so many times, and I was never, I obviously, I was never successful in, it's not even a diet, it's like, it's eating healthy and whatever it is, and I wanted it so bad that I knew that it was the food that was my biggest issue ever.
Yeah.
So I knew in my brain that I needed to do that.
Yeah.
And for anyone who's listening and for anyone who's watching, it's hard. Obviously, whenever you come from a history of eating and a family who that you need to eat and whatever it is, it's you have to know when you're ready to want to start this crazy journey, because it is going to be a roller coaster.
Yeah.
You know, it was for me, it was a roller coaster, and obviously I had a bad month and I gained a few pounds back, but for the most part, you just have to want it. That's all it comes down to, is that's the only way that the food is going to actually make a change, and you're just going to be like, okay, well, screw it. I have to eat it. I have to fill my stomach somehow.
Yeah, and I feel like for me, like, too, there's been months that were better than others, and there were some months that were worse, and it's more so just, like, a consistent thing of, like, I'm being kind to myself, and I'm like, I'm trusting the pace of my own journey, and I'm not, you know, I think it's easy for us with the program that we were doing to get caught up in like just the results, like so much in the goals, but I feel like the most important thing that I try and remind myself is it's really just about like feeling better and like feeling more comfortable in your own skin, feeling more confident, you know, being able to look at yourself in the mirror and like, you know, be able to look at yourself and feel good. I feel like that's really now like what I'm focusing on the most. And I feel like what I want to like continue when I think about like when I'm done is like, obviously I still want to continue to work out and be healthy, but it becomes less about the goals and more so just about like the habits and like how you feel.
Exactly. And waking up and feeling good about yourself. Like I can't stress this enough. I'm sure your sleep has changed as well. Has it?
Yeah. Like crazy.
Like you feel more energetic in the morning. Yeah, when you eat bad, you don't feel energetic.
I'm going to the gym at like 7 a.m. I'm waking up at 6 with so much energy before like I would have to roll out of bed at like 8.
Exactly. And you feel crazier. It's something that I can't really like, I can't wrap my head around is how working out and eating healthy, it truly does change from the inside to the outside, you know?
No, I said last week, obviously I've like struggled with mental health issues my whole life. I've been in therapy since I was 7 years old and like working out has literally been like the best thing for my mental health ever. Like has literally worked, you know, better and faster for me at times than some like medication that I was taking or even like working with therapists. Even on my drive to work today, I did like legs this morning, whatever, I was squatting and I like then in the car on the way here, I literally felt like high almost.
Yeah.
Because of just like the endorphins that were being released. And it just feels so great to like go throughout the rest of your day.
I agree 100%. And I feel the same exact way as you do. And what I've realized too is I've slept so much better and I sleep so much better.
Yeah.
It's so crazy. Obviously, like you need to rest and you need to be able to sleep whenever you're working out and you need to eat the right things. But I personally, I slept so much better.
Yeah.
Whenever you're just doing it every single day. And it does get tough. There's days you're just like, oh man. Yeah. But then I don't know if you feel this way too, because I felt this way is I felt guilty if I didn't go to the gym. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. I felt guilty and I was like, okay, I need to hit the gym. I need to do this.
Yeah, I think that's where I come back to like the being kind to yourself thing. You know, like I went out of town for a couple of weeks in July and I didn't really work out. You know, I didn't go to the gym. Like I didn't lift weights. I did have pasta. Yeah, I had a shitload of pasta. And I think it's like, you know, but then there's other certain like boundaries and things that I'm going to put. All right, if I know I'm not going to work out, I'm not going to shove my face like I used to before I started working out. Or it's like I still want to be able to enjoy life, but just have these like guardrails and boundaries up that I know are better for just like my health and longevity.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. Exactly. 1,000,000%.
Yeah.
I 100%. I agree with that for sure.
Yeah. Back when like way before you even started this, like I'm talking like teenager or like high school and stuff, like do you feel like your mental health and your experience was like affected by your weight and like sort of how you were viewed and like sort of became who you are? Like talk to me about that a little bit.
Yeah, so as I was saying earlier, I actually found a letter that I had written to myself in 2012 when I was 16.
Yeah.
I'm 27 now. And I read the letter and literally the first sentence of the letter was, I wonder if I've lost any weight yet.
Wow.
And imagine at 16 years old, you know, you write a letter to yourself years from now. And the first thing you write to yourself is, I wonder if I've lost any weight. Because I remember I used to get bullied. I used to get sad because I was, you know, bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And because I would get bullied and because I would be sad, I would literally just want to be in my room or just be alone and eat. Mm. So that was kind of a coping mechanism for me is.
Right. It's just like that. Spiral.
Exactly.
Just goes, like, worse
exactly.
And worse.
Then the next day I tell myself, yo, I'm not going to make the same mistakes I made yesterday. And then I do that. And then then it continues. And then before you know it, my highest I've ever been, it was 210 pounds.
Yeah.
So, and,
and how tall are you? Like 4 feet, like 4'2" or.
I'm like 4'1". No, I'm 5'1". And I should not be that. I weigh 130 now. I used to be really sad for sure. It definitely affected my mental health and I felt really, really, really depressed for such a long time.
Yeah.
I felt that I was just in this spiral and I didn't deserve to, I guess, quote unquote, look good.
Yeah.
It's whenever you're so sad for such a long time and you feel big and you look in the mirror and you feel you look big and then there's people, who you're getting bullied by, like in middle school or high school or whatever, and people are calling you names, obviously you're going to end up, you know, in your brain as a 16, 17 year old, you tell yourself, oh, wow, they are right. I am this person.
Yeah.
But then the older you grow, and I truly did have like a realization. I told myself, I don't want to live like this anymore.
Yeah.
And I can't stress this enough. My brain has changed so much for the better.
Yeah.
And I feel so much happier, which I've always been happy
yeah.
on the inside, but I've never been happy with my own skin. But now I look at myself and I do feel happy in my own skin, and I do feel confident, and I do feel, you know, all these things. And I just kind of felt more so, how do I say this? That I needed to make a change within myself, not only for myself, but I wanted to go on camera and show people, yo, I know what it's like. I've been there. I've done that. Don't waste your life. You have only one life. Make a change, and nobody's going to hold your hand and guide you to do that. You have to do it yourself. You're going to have to want it. Like,
yeah.
you need to want it more than you want to breathe.
Yeah.
You know, there's oxygen going into our lungs right now.
It's that serious.
Yeah, yeah. 100% it is that serious.
Yeah.
And my brain has gotten so much stronger. Dude, I created so much willpower. It is absolutely insane. I go out and I don't even drink.
Crazy.
And people tell me they say, oh, you're so boring. It couldn't be me. They're just like, oh, it couldn't be me. I don't know how you go out and you don't drink. I just do it, dude.
Yeah.
You don't need a drink to have fun. You don't need a drink to do whatever it is that you do. You don't need to do that.
Yeah, I think that's one of the coolest parts about just the whole experience in general is how strong the mind is and how we can totally rebuild like how we think and like what we do. You know, it's like the saying, like, mind over matter, obviously, but like if you really do just commit mentally and like tell yourself that, like, you can literally convince yourself of anything. I think like one of the things that you said that sticks out to me is that when you told yourself as a teenager, like, I don't deserve to lose the weight.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that, like, when I've been depressed too, it's like you start to think of yourself so negatively and take it so personally to yourself that you literally like don't even think that you're worthy of being, you know, in shape or hanging out with these people or whatever it is, because these like beliefs become so instilled as like part of your identity. I guess, like, can you speak more on just like your depression or like how did you sort of learn to cope with that? Or like, were you literally depressed up until you just started this, like, a journey with Zila? Because I think there's also something so beautiful about you, like, before I knew you, but just assuming, like, then you started to sort of turn, you know, your body and your love for food and these other things almost into like your social media career and like doing like food content and other things like that. So there was sort of like a silver lining of it. But I think, you know, how did that all sort of like unfold at the time?
I've definitely was depressed in high school and in college. Cause I did go to college, and I remember I was a full-time student and I was also working two jobs. So obviously during that time, whenever you're working two jobs and you're working as a full and you're going to school full time, the only thing.
Where were you working?
I was working at Hot Topic. Okay, I've said this so many times to people.
Nice.
I was working at Hot Topic, and I was also working as a childcare supervisor.
Nice. People were trusting you with their kids?
Dude, I used to babysit kids all the time.
Wow.
I'm so good with kids.
It doesn't surprise me.
Why?
Because you're like, you're nice and easy to talk to.
Yeah. Well, I used to tell the kids, I'm like, don't be bad, little girl.
Yeah. Okay.
And they would just laugh and say, Miss Susie.
That's serious, though. Like a full-time student with the two jobs.
With two jobs. And schedule. And looking back at it now, I was 20. I think I was 20 at the time. Mm-hmm. I was 20 years old at the time. Or no, even younger, actually, because I got my job at 18 years old. Yeah, 18, 19 years old, I got my job. And
this is before, like, any, like, social media
stuff. Any social media. This was almost 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And going to school, working two jobs and going to school full time, what was going on in my brain is, okay, I can't really eat clean. I have to resort to fast food. Mm-hmm. Because after high school, I told myself, yo, you know what? You got to start losing weight. When you graduate high school, you're what, 17, 18 years old. I told myself, yo, you really got to lose the weight. You're fat as hell. Don't spiral and don't let the people of what they said kind of get into your head.
Mm-hmm.
So it was still a problem for me, because after that, I got the two jobs. I worked as a full-time student and I would resort to eating fast food.
Yeah.
And looking back at it now, and again, I want to kind of touch the subject of people messaging me and telling me, well, how do you do it? Because I am, you know, hypothetically, I'm a mom of three. I work full time. I do this. I do that.
Right.
I do
like
this.
How do you find the time?
How do you find the time? Exactly. It's mainly your diet. If hypothetically, if you don't even have time to work out or whatever it is, even if you put 30 minutes of your time into a walk, going, lifting some weights or whatever it is, it truly, truly, truly makes the craziest difference that you can possibly ever imagine.
Yeah.
And eating healthy.
Yeah.
Eating healthy. I can't stress this enough. Eating healthy. And I know it sucks sometimes because I know it sucked for me because you eat the food and you just look at it like, bro, I don't want to be eating this shit. So like, I know, man. I don't either, bro. I don't either. But do I want diabetes?
I literally always think just like, why did God have to make the shit that tastes the best be the worst for you?
100%. And I have a theory that meal preps are intentionally made bad so you don't eat it. But meal preps are no matter what anybody says, if you don't make the meal prep yourself. But anyway, but when you eat healthy, yeah, hypothetically, you're eating a little bit of brown rice or whatever it is, you're eating broccoli, you're eating chicken, whatever it is, in your mental brain, and now I know this now, is you need to tell yourself, yo, this food is actually, it tastes amazing, it's good for me,
yeah,
and it's gonna make me live a long and successful life.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that at the time. At the time, I kept resorting to junk food. I would go to Wobble Grill, which I know is not the best for you. And I would tell myself, okay, you know what? I had Wobble Grill today. Tomorrow, I'm going to make myself something to eat at home.
Right.
But then, again, same repetition for years until I hit the mark of, and I never, ever, ever told anyone, I told a single soul how much I weighed. My mom, and this is a true story, I haven't said this publicly, my mom used to tell me to step on the scale, and I used to not want to step on the scale because I knew how much I weighed, but yeah, I didn't want others to know because I was so ashamed.
Yeah.
In my brain, I rather would have them think of, oh, wow, I wonder how much she weighs.
Right.
But in reality, I just didn't want to step on it because I was so ashamed of myself.
Yeah.
And I was so sad,
yeah,
that I let these years of people bullying me, getting in my head, making me feel less than I was. And now looking back at it, I'm actually reading this book. It's called, I'm sure you've read it before, it's called The Power of Your Subconscious Mind.
No, I don't know it.
So The Power of Your Subconscious Mind, it basically tells you, I kind of want to touch back on what you said earlier of how,
yeah,
your brain works.
Yeah.
And your subconscious mind is working 24 hours in a day.
Yeah.
Our conscious mind is only working whenever we're awake.
Yeah.
And if I mentally tell myself, yo, you suck, my subconscious is going to tell my conscience I suck. And it's going to, same thing,
spiral.
But when you tell yourself, when you constantly look in the mirror subconsciously, you tell yourself, I am the best. I am the best. I am skinny. I am this. I am that. You are going to, what it's going to do is your subconscious is kind of your worker in,
yeah,
a way.
Yeah.
And you have to make it work and tell your conscience, yo, I am the best. I am this. And it's going to make you, before you know it, you're going to make these changes in your life,
yeah,
that you didn't even know you could do, you know?
Yeah, it's like the power of manifestation.
I think it seems exactly what it is.
Silly, but I think that it's like it's absolutely correct.
It's
like,
so
like
true.
We all have a subconscious, and I think, you know, that's responsible for really like it. For me, it's like part of like our soul of like how we,
yeah,
really feel about ourselves, how we interact with other people. I feel like everyone has those experiences of like feeling energy or just like knowing if someone's a good vibe or a bad, mm-hmm, vibe. It's like all those sorts of things of like our subconscious is being able to sort of like read the room and,
exactly,
communicate with each other. But yeah, I think that there's a lot of power in that for sure.
That's what I didn't realize years ago.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that, yo, my brain is making me move my hands right now. It's making words come out of my mouth. It's making oxygen. You know, if,
yeah,
without our brain, we're nothing.
Yeah.
And I had this 9 months of my life. I'm 27, and in those 9 months, I made the craziest change that even I can't believe.
Yeah.
I can't mentally believe that I did, yeah, that, but I know I did it because it was me who did it. Nobody came to my house and put that food in my mouth and said, here, baby, choo-choo train, eat this food. Eat this food. Nobody did that because I wanted
it. I hope nobody did that. Yeah.
I'm like, are you getting that during the Zillow journey?
Ilya might have done that, yeah.
Oh, maybe, yeah. Maybe. You know what? Ilya maybe has come to the house and, you know, choo-choo-trained the food into my...
Once or twice
until I got the hang of it.
Yeah. So I guess how and when did all of, like, the social media stuff start for you? Like, how did that happen?
The very first time that actually happened is a really funny story. Is my brother was borrowing some lights at...
Jonah.
Jonah was borrowing some lights at his friend's house, mm-hmm. at the old apartment, 1700 Vine, I think that's what it, where the apartment was. My brother was borrowing lights and he stumbled into Alex's house and David just so happened to be there. Mm. And my brother started acting like a gangster in front of him. Mm. And David just thought it was the funniest thing. There's actually a clip of it on YouTube. I think prior to that, we were actually making some YouTube videos. We were doing skits here and there.
Just like messing around.
My family and I, yeah. And Jason told David, dude, this family's really freaking funny. You got to meet this family. So the following week...
How did Jason know you guys? Like, just from finding the video somehow?
I think my brother had showed Jason the videos. Mm. I think my brother had shown Jason the videos and Jason... Or my brother had told Jason, yo, you got to watch these my videos. My family and I, we make videos together. So Jason checked out the videos and then he told David. Exactly. And then the following week... David hit up my brother because he got my brother's number. But my brother kind of didn't think anything of it because my brother was doing Uber at the time. Mm-hmm. He was doing Uber Eats at the time.
Yeah.
And he didn't think anything of it. And he just thought, okay, David's never going to text me.
Right.
So the following week, he texted my brother and he said, yo, can I come over to your house? And the first interaction he ever had with my family was my dad literally opened the door in boxers with a rifle in his hands. And I'm not even kidding. And my mom just yelling at the top of her lungs.
Like, who are these crazy people?
Yeah. And then he walked in and he said, dude, this family is psycho.
Yeah.
I love them. So that's how we started. But you know what? Prior to that, when we were kids, my brother has always wanted to get into acting.
Mm.
So he started when he was 13 years old. And my brother and I, our difference was 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
Our difference is the only process. So when he was 13, I was 12 years old. So mm-hmm. we kind of grew up. I used to go on set with him. I used to go be extras with him. I'll never forget, dude. I remember I was 12 years old and my brother was 13 at the time and they wanted us to be an extra.
Right.
But the movie budget was so low that they couldn't pay us in food. I mean, they couldn't pay us in money. So they paid us some food instead. They looked at us. They're like, oh, these fat kids will love some food. So I swear to God, there's a true story. We literally got paid in hot dogs.
Wow.
Because of the low budget film. And that was when we were 12 years old.
That's
so
insane.
Growing up, I used to take my brother to auditions. I used to... He's always loved entertainment. He's always loved like making movies,
just like
produce.
I've been that guy.
He's loved it. And that kind of went on to me is I started loving it too because I was right next to him in anything that he did.
Yeah.
I started loving it. And then whenever we met David, it was so exciting because we wanted to do that as well. So we started making YouTube videos with him and then we did it on the side as well. We mm-hmm. did skits together and it blossomed to this entire thing. And I truly, truly, truly think that if it hadn't been for David and the crew, I don't think I would have ever been as outgoing as I was.
Yeah.
Because I've been outgoing because my coping mechanism whenever I was getting bullied is it would be comedy.
Right.
It would be comedy, making fun of myself, making fun of others, or whatever it is.
Right. Let me just be like really loud and act like everything's okay.
Exactly. That's exactly what I would do. So now people still ask me, well, why are you loud? But the reason I was loud is because it comes down to it being from childhood and it being these children making fun of me, making whatever it was. And my brother used to get bullied as a kid too.
Mm-hmm.
And when we used to go to high school and elementary school
for
together.
Being overweight.
Yeah. Elementary school together. And we used to get bullied together. We used to only hang out with each other. So growing up, he was literally my best friend.
Mm.
And even now, he's my best friend. I would do anything for my brother. And we don't show it in public, but he's my best
friend.
Behind
closed doors,
Okay, that was weird. But no, dude, it's crazy. Anytime we go out, people, like, we went out with Taylor the other day, and she said, this is weird. Why are you two together? And I told her, I said, well, me and my brother always go out together.
Yeah.
No matter where we are, my brother and I are always together. 24/7, we're together.
Yeah.
He'll text me, yo, what are you doing? Like, he texted me last night if I want to go to a hookah lounge, and he got pissed off because I didn't want to go.
Right.
You know the old brother thing?
Yeah.
Have you seen those TikToks when people say to each other, yo, do you want to go somewhere? And then the younger brother says, yeah, I want to go. And then you tell the younger brother, yo, shut the fuck up. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I mean,
that's my little brother, Vardon.
I would do that all the time.
Yeah.
You guys have another brother?
Yeah. Dude, you've met him so many times. Vardon, the really tall kid. He's like 6 feet tall.
That's your brother?
That's my little brother, yeah.
No way.
Yeah, dude. Oh, my God. You know he was a surprise baby?
Really?
I swear to God. My mom had no idea she was pregnant.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that was your brother. I thought that was just like a really close friend.
No, that's my little brother.
Oh, wow.
He's, you know what's crazy? He's so much taller than the entire family. It yeah, makes him zero sense. Tall.
That's why I thought there was no way that he's related to you.
I know. Yeah. So
that's crazy.
Yeah, that's my little brother, Vardon.
I mean, I think something so beautiful about your story is that it's like you guys almost turned this like insecurity into mm-hmm. like a superpower.
Yeah.
Like honestly, that really like propelled your guys' careers and,
yeah.
and like what you do for a living still to this day. I'm curious, like, was it hard as like a, you know, 20 something like sort of overweight girl who struggled with depression to then like put the camera on you at all times and like sort of start to like be in like the public eye like that when you still weren't feeling great about yourself? Or like, what was that experience like?
In the beginning, it was very new to me.
Yeah.
Well, not very new to me because I had experience doing it before as a kid and stuff
yeah.
with my brother, but it definitely was very hard for yeah. me because I would look at the videos after and again, I would look at the pictures. Dude, look at the old videos. I look at myself and like I didn't feel happy.
Telling yourself all these negative things about
yourself.
Negative
things, yeah. exactly. But not making a difference.
Yeah.
Telling myself, dude, I'm fat as hell, but not making a difference.
Yeah.
Not making a change. Not yeah. wanting to make a change. It was definitely really hard. And I've read a lot of comments from people. And I've read a lot of DMs from people bullying me, even online. So even you know, saying these things... growing up as a kid, being bullied verbally in person,
yeah.
and then getting that on the internet, it really kind of took a toll on me. I was like
double whammy, right?
Yeah.
There.
Again, I started resorting to comedy more.
Yeah,
I started resorting to comedy more, and I started ignoring them. Yeah. I started ignoring the comments, and I would just laugh at it. Even yeah. now, I just laugh at the mean comments.
Yeah.
You know, because at the end of the day, you're looking at my picture, you're looking at my video, you're what it's fine.
Yeah.
It's and then I had this realization at I think it was during when we were filming for the vlogs, and I had this realization where I told myself that people, the only reason why they are bullying others is because they are insecure themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So they're projecting their insecurities onto you.
Yeah, 100%.
And that's what made me become such a nice person.
Yeah.
Is I'm, and this is the craziest thing to even say out loud, is I'm borderline happy I got bullied.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I grew up not being that way, I know I would never know what it felt like.
Yeah.
But I'm so happy because I'm a nice person, and I want people to know that they are not alone. I've been there, and I kind of want to be that someone they look up to, and they look at me and they say, damn, I'm looking up to this person. And even girls or young boys like who are growing up in feeling insecure, feeling sad, and feeling however it is not your fault.
Yeah.
And it is the bully's insecurity
yeah.
that they are projecting into you.
Yeah.
Not only did I get bullied for being overweight, I actually got bullied because of having acne on my face. And people used to call me like pizza face.
That's tough.
It messed up, dude.
Yeah. That's
messed
really
up.
Fucked up.
Tell me a little bit about your life. I'm talking about me so much.
What do you want to know?
I mean, I do know everything about you, actually. I know everything. I know.
You could ask me anything.
I know everything about you. Did you get bullied growing up as well?
No.
Because we grew up in similar neighborhoods, right?
I never really experienced getting bullied. I
really?
Well, I went to so much of like a smaller school. I went to a Jewish day school that really only had like 40, 50 kids in my whole grade.
Uh-huh.
So like, you know, there wasn't really a ton of that going on. I mean, like there were definitely some kids who got bullied, but
yeah.
it wasn't really anything like that. I had a really great group of friends that were all sort of really supportive. But
yeah.
But I can totally relate to what you were saying about like almost being grateful for being bullied in a weird way of like
yeah.
even when I look at the times where I was at my rock bottom or the most depressed or when I went away to treatment and got sober, it's like
mm-hmm.
those are the times that I look back on as my biggest blessings in life.
Yep.
Because I think it's like those depths and that pain give us such amazing perspective and empathy and the mm-hmm. ability to connect with other people and inspire other people, and like really like through that I feel like can come these amazing, you know, positive transformations and experiences, you know. That's really what, like, in a way, like, what the word Mad Happy really means, right? Of like, there's life is going to be really shitty sometimes, mm-hmm. and it's probably out of your control when it is, and like, to really embrace those moments and accept them, then when you're on the other side, you realize how valuable they are and how much they really taught you, and then now you're able to like use those times to continue to grow and have perspective and connect with like the thousands of people, like, exactly. Like you're doing. Yeah.
And I say this all the time as well, is kind of piggybacking off of what you said, is once you hit rock bottom, there's nowhere else to go.
Yeah.
When you hit rock bottom and you know what it feels like to hit so low, you tell yourself mentally, I never, ever, ever want to be where I was.
Like, what an opportunity. Like,
exactly.
It's such an opportunity to like climb back up.
Absolutely. And it is going to be hard.
Yeah.
It is going to be difficult. It is going to feel, you are going to want to give up, especially for me. And I'm sure that you've had instances too, where you want to, as far as it goes for any journey that anybody goes through, is you want to give up, but consistency is key.
Yeah.
Is staying consistent. Then you might not see results, and the results will come just randomly out of nowhere when you don't give up.
Yeah.
And I can't stress this enough to anybody listening or watching, or, it's do not give up on whatever it is, because that moment, that little tiny moment is when you want to give up. That's when you know that little thing is kind of just going to have to be a bump in the road. And that time where you want to give up is going to be so difficult.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to push yourself even harder to not give up and to get over that bump and to see the bigger picture of what it is in anything that anybody wants to do. For me, it was weight loss, and now I have other goals I'm meeting right now.
Yeah.
I have other goals, whether it's my career or it's whether it's gaining muscle now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, speaking of not giving up, I think, like, you know, for those who don't know, you said you started this journey because of a fight that you had in the beginning of your journey and ended up like losing the fight.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that is a moment of just like, oh shit, like, why am I doing this? What am I doing?
Exactly.
I did all this for this fight that I just got killed in. Like what, how were you able to like bounce back from like that moment? Like, I imagine your like motivation must have been just like destroyed.
Yeah. So, to anybody that doesn't know, I got in the ring, and it's nuts because I got in the ring a day after my birthday.
Wow.
So December 9th, 2022 is whenever I got in the ring.
Yeah.
And, after I got my ass beat, I went into the locker room and I was crying and I was depressed.
Yeah.
And
how long were you training for before that?
I was training for 2 months.
Nice.
About 2 months,
yeah.
And I've never boxed in my life before.
Yeah.
My grandfather from my dad's side was a boxer, but I guess
whatever.
I didn't get the genes.
Yeah.
Clearly. Like comedy to cope.
Yeah.
But I had 2 months to train, and I went into the ring. I got my ass beat, and I went into the locker room right after because I was so ashamed of myself, because in my brain, I can't lose, you know? And I knew the day before, because I hadn't seen whoever this girl was.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't seen her. I had only seen her on the internet. And I knew the day before when I saw her, in my brain, I kind of had a feeling already.
Yeah.
I kind of had a feeling. I'm like, this is not going to end well.
Why did she want to fight you in the first place?
So I was originally going to fight this girl named Grace O'Malley.
Uh-huh.
But the thing is that our heights and our weight.
What's with like the social media people just like fighting?
I don't know, dude. I just did it because Barstool Sports and Rough and Rowdy, and it was such a great opportunity for me.
Yeah, that is a good opportunity.
And on top of that, I just thought it would be cool.
Yeah.
Why
not? It's fun.
Why not? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Would I ever step in a ring again? You never know. I mean, you never know. Find somebody who's 5'1", weighs 130 pounds, perhaps.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
Clone me, I'll fight myself.
Yeah. Clone me, exactly. I'll fight myself. But I was originally supposed to fight this girl named Grace O'Malley.
Right.
And while I was trying to set that fight up, because I was talking to my managers, I was talking to her, and she had sent my management to her weight and her height, and our weights and our heights didn't match up. And then I posted an Instagram story right after it's done, right after we were done, because my management told me, yo, we're going to have to find you somebody because you already signed a contract. You're going to need to do it. Yeah. So we're at this rate. I'm trying to find someone. And I posted an Instagram story, and Sarah, she was the one that DM'd me on Instagram. Mm. And I had gotten hundreds of DMs, but I don't know why her DM just stuck out to me the most.
You're like, let's do it. Sure.
So I told her, I'm like, let's do it. Why not? Yeah. And then she gave me her manager's information. I got her management in contact with my management, and they spoke. Etc. Now it's December, and we get in the ring, we fight, get my ass beat, and I'm in the locker room. I'm crying for hours. I was just in the locker room crying, and I have pictures actually of, like, she popped blood vessels in both of my eyes. I got a bruised eye. The only thing I was so thankful for, knock on wood, is my nose didn't get broken. Listen, she did mention, which I do agree with her, that she's like, that girl got a face of steel. How did she not get her face messed up? Right. Which she is kind of right. Which
she is right.
She's funny. But in December, and then the holidays started hitting. Thousands of people saw me get my ass handed to me, and I'm getting messages from people saying, you're a loser, you're this, you got your ass beat.
Everything,
you got, exactly. I had family tell me that. It was sad. It was sad. It was really, really, really sad. And I told Ilya, I remember, and I've mentioned this before, is I went into Ilya's office and I started crying, bawling my eyes out. And I told Ilya, I can't do this anymore. Mm. I remember it clear as day.
That was the motivation.
And I told him, I told Ilya, I sat in the office chair, and he was in front of me, and I closed the door and I just bawled. I told him, I'm like, I'm depressed, Ilya. I can't do this anymore. I just got my ass handed to me over thousands of people watching me. I'm getting DMs. I'm getting this. I'm getting that. And he looked at me and he said, what do you want to do? And I told him, I don't know, Ilya. I don't know. I can't do this anymore. I got to give up. I can't. And he said, no giving up. You've come this far and you cannot. You need to have a redemption. You need to show people that it's okay, that you got in that ring. You did what most people in their life would never, ever, ever do.
Yeah.
And you did get your ass beat. You did. You got to accept that shit. You did get your ass beat. And that was when I realized, damn, he is right. I did get my ass beat.
Yeah.
And I did.
But you did it still.
I did it still. Yeah. Exactly. And I told him, you're right, Ilya. I can't give up. And he told me, we had like maybe an hour, 2 hour long conversation where he told me, you cannot give up. You need it. You got this.
Yeah.
I understand. It's hard. I know thousands of people saw you in that ring. I know that. But now it's go time. And now you need to have your redemption. You need to show people that, you did get beat the fuck up. But this is kind of has to be, as you said, the silver lining. And you need to now show people that even though you go through this crap, you can't give up.
Yeah.
So that's after that, we started training for my Spartan race.
Right.
And then after the Spartan race is whenever we ran a half marathon.
Yeah.
And then in between.
Yeah, I loved how you guys did it without just, you know, sort of those different goals. Like,
exactly.
Like every month of like sort of an event that we're like working towards.
It just happened.
Yeah.
It's so nuts because right after the fight, Ilya and I, we were going to run a marathon. We were going to run a marathon. And I told him, Il, I don't know. And this is actually, it's a true story. And we agreed, and he said, have you ever heard of a Spartan race? And I said, I have no idea what a Spartan race is, but fuck it, I'm down. If I got my ass beat on camera in front of people, and I did that, what makes you think I'm not going to go in the middle of a desert and do these crazy obstacles?
Obstacle course,
I need and he literally pushed me to limits that I didn't even know that I mentally had.
Yeah.
And after that, we did a Spartan race. After the Spartan race, we did a Spartan race, I believe, in March, March, April. After the Spartan race, we did a half marathon in April in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
After the half marathon, in between the half marathon and whenever I walked for Miami Fashion Week, I actually secretly got a... you were going to run it with me, actually.
Oh, the one with Joe, yeah.
Yeah. Me, you, and Joe, we were supposed to run a half marathon.
Yeah.
And I don't know what happened. I think you were busy. You went to Italy or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And Joe and I actually ran a half marathon, and we didn't tell Ilya about it until the day before. I remember we were planning that.
Yeah, I remember.
We were planning that. Yeah, so I ran two half marathons. I ran the Spartan race, and then after that, I did Miami Swim Week.
Yeah, tell me a little more about like Miami Swim Week, because I think that's one to me that's so special of like it's not so much just a physical accomplishment, but just like that's the ultimate act of finally feeling confident and comfortable. And I know everything that like we were talking about at the time of like you having not like worn a two-piece bikini for so long or ever felt comfortable about that. Like what was that experience like?
Growing up, I never felt comfortable in my skin, and I never felt happy, and I never felt accomplished.
Yeah.
And And I remember the only ever time that I had worn a two-piece bikini was in Cabo, where I knew that nobody would be there.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even a regular underwear. It was literally one of those, like, it goes over your stomach.
Mm-hmm.
And looking back at those pictures now, it's crazy. But we started pushing myself. We hit 15,000 steps a day on top of eating clean and on top of working out twice a day. I remember I would speak to you about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we upped 15,000 to 18,000 steps a day.
Wow.
So that's roughly 18,000 steps is 9 miles a day. So
it's a lot of steps.
It's a lot of steps.
Yeah.
So, but I knew that there was going to be thousands of people watching this.
Yeah.
So I, not only did I want to feel comfortable, but I wanted, you know, when these people are taking my picture, for me to look at the picture and say, damn, I did that.
Mm-hmm.
Bella, which she works for Zila with Ilya, she's one of the producers, she sent me a picture of, they had custom made me a two-piece bikini.
Nice.
They had custom made it for me.
Yeah.
And after she Bella had gotten my sizes, we had sent it over to them. They made me a custom bikini. But dude, when I looked at the picture, I thought that bikini was insanely small. Mm. I looked at it, I said, there's no way in hell that this is going to fit my body.
I'm not going to fit in there.
Yeah. And then I started getting paranoid about that, and I said, okay, I need to lose more weight so that this bikini will fit me. And then after that, the day before, I went to try it, and I put it on. I put on the bikini, and I put on the underwear, and dude, I looked in the mirror, and I couldn't even recognize myself anymore. Wow. I felt so good.
That's such an amazing moment.
I felt so good looking at myself.
Yeah.
That I just told myself, damn, looking back at it, I felt so happy from within, and my smile was just like showing on the outside, and I just felt so, so, so happy that all these months of hard work and training and eating right and losing the weight, it made me feel so much more confident, yeah, so much like more happy.
It paid off. It was real.
It paid off. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. I guess thinking about, like, you know, you're obviously done with this Zila transformation thing. Obviously, you're going to continue to sort of work out, like, whatever that looks like for you. Like, what else is sort of, like, how is your life different now? Like in terms of what you think about for your work or family or yourself and your mental health? Like, sort of, like, paint the picture of me of just, like, how you're, like, thinking about, like, the future now and, like, what's next for you.
I feel more confident.
Yeah.
And I actually just got signed to a talent agency as well.
Sick.
For acting, because I'm trying to get into comedy for women.
Yeah.
And I'm booking way more auditions.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Which is kind of weird.
Yeah.
But I keep telling the joke. I'm like, who knew I just needed to lose 80 pounds and I'd get way more auditions.
Yeah, that's all it would take.
Yeah, literally. All you got to do is lose some weight.
People think you lose the weight and you don't get funny, you lose the humor, seemed like you kept it.
Yeah, no. Yeah. I spoke with Ilya about that. I would tell him, I'm like, dude, I don't know, man. I don't know if I lose the weight, what if I lose the humor? But I didn't lose the humor. Thank God.
Yeah.
Thank Jesus Christ.
Well, Susie, it's been amazing to just, like, witness your transformation, and I feel so lucky to have been a part of it and all the workouts together, and, you know, hopefully you'll still
all the jokes
come by the house and hang all the dude, all the jokes, all the boxing classes,
dude,
you know.
I'm waiting for boxing to start back up again.
I know we need to get boxing back.
We need to get boxing back. We used to troll, literally. Do you remember every Tuesday, literally
all day,
twice a week, we used to troll, just laugh, dying laughing. But yeah,
well, thank you so much for coming
thank
on
you
the
for
show
having
and
me.
For anyone who hasn't already, you could check out the 4 episodes of Susie's fitness transformation on the Zila YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Anything else to shout out? Or
no, nothing to shout out, but listen, believe in yourself, even if nobody believes in you, and you got this, don't give up.
Boom. Thanks, Suze. Thank you guys so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed that one. Definitely one of the funnier episodes. We had Susie in studio with us, so you can only imagine the ball of energy that conversation was to have in person. Again, a big thank you to her for finally coming on the show and talking about some of those things. I know it's not easy. And again, I really encourage everyone to go check out Zila Fitness on YouTube and watch all 4 of her episodes. Are really great. I basically met her after, like, the second episode, so it was cool for me to watch some of that stuff that was taking place before I met those guys and started working with them. But yeah, hope everyone is having a great week and that summer is still going well. We only got a few more weeks, so definitely make the most of it. And yeah, we'll talk to you guys next week. Peace.
The Mad Happy Podcast is brought to you by Optimism.